Please turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians and the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4. The past 2 weeks we've been considering the topic of missions. I began by looking at the why of missions, why we should go. Last week we studied the work of missions, that is, what it was we were supposed to be doing. And so this morning, I'd like to finish the mini-series by discussing the wages of missions. It should be obvious that very little, if anything, is free. Even if it is free to us, it's going to cost somebody something. We say that salvation is free, and that is true. It is free to us. We cannot earn it, we do not deserve it, and we cannot pay for it. But salvation is not free because it costs the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin had to be paid, and Jesus paid it for us. We therefore understand that the completion of mission work is going to cost something. Supplies are not free. Food is not free. Gasoline is not free. Housing is not free. Plane fare is not free, so it is obvious for the missionary to do mission work, there's going to be a cost involved. So the question is raised, is it the sole responsibility of the missionary to fund the mission work? Along the same concept may be the question, must the missionary be bivocational, or does he have to pay his own way? So I trust that by these questions and considerations, you see the need to talk about the subject. And so I speak to you this morning, topical message entitled, The Wages of Missions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that you would send healing to them. Comfort them as only you can. Comfort the bereaved. But we've come together today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to honor you. And Lord, we pray that you bless your word now as it goes forth. Lord, just speak to our hearts. Help us to learn from your word. And Lord, help us to be mission-minded. Help us to always bear in mind that missions are not free. And so it's going to cost. And so help us to participate in the support of missions. And so, Lord, we do pray for our missionaries that you would bless them, provide their need, and grant them safety, and bless them in their labors. And Lord, may your hand be upon each one. So help us today as we study, teach us and guide us, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I'd just like to begin this message of thinking about the wages of mission by considering really two aspects of missions, or missionaries, if you will. And really, it just boils down to the idea of there are those who are allowed to work and those who are not allowed to work. And certainly, when we think about those not permitted to work, generally speaking, that's going to be most of the foreign missionaries. Very few countries are going to allow foreigners to come in and to take jobs from their own people. Some perhaps may do so, but every foreign missionary I've ever known never worked a job in that place. They always were supported by outside support from the churches here in America. And so you think about it, somebody picks up, goes from here, goes outside our boundaries, goes to a foreign country and set up shop. That cannot be cheap. And Brother Valandry is going to be leaving this week to go to Thailand. Our church graciously sent a love offering to help them with the expenses of moving. And rightly so, because it's just very, very difficult to do all that, to set everything up. But then you get there, often the cost of living is higher, sometimes it isn't. All depends on the exchange rate and how things are going in the global economy. But really, when you think about our foreign missionaries, all the foreign missionaries we support at this time, they all have full support from home, and that's a good thing. Bear in mind that these missionaries that are in the foreign land, they have the same why as the home missionaries. They have the same work to do, just as home missionaries. But the wages sometimes is very, very difficult for them. And so a missionary going to a foreign land often spends a lot of time trying to gain financial support, and sometimes it's up to 2 years before they could ever get to the field because they just do not have enough money to go. And that's a real tragedy. God calls somebody to go to a place like that, and they have to spend so much of their time trying to raise enough funds to get there. But that's just the nature of mission work, and that's just what's going to happen. There are those who are not permitted to work. But then, of course, there are those who are allowed to work, and I'm thinking specifically about those who within the boundaries of the United States of America, since we're Americans, we're from here, we call them home missionaries. And so if a person, even if they left the mission field and came back home and began a mission work, or if they from inside the United States says, hey, I feel led to go and start a church here or to have a mission work among this type of people in this location, that's a home mission work. Well, certainly Americans are allowed to work. And we can get a job anywhere, can't we? So, if they do work, if a guy goes, say somebody here says, hey, God, I believe God's calling me to go to someplace in Texas to set up shop and to preach the gospel to the Hispanics in that area. Well, you know what? We can support you, and you can get support and gain support, but you can also work. And so in that case, a guy can be bivocational just as much as a preacher can be bivocational and may not be fully supported by a church, but will need to work. Always is the case that when there's working outside, there's going to be some hindrance to the ministry. That will always be the case. So if a missionary says, I just need you to give me so much support and I can work a job, that's fine, you can do that, but it will hinder the mission work to some degree. It's just going to do that. But sometimes a guy, especially within the United States, that's going to, because they can work, that allows them the opportunity to be able to set up a mission work that would otherwise not be able to happen. And so, we do have that type of concern. The wages of mission is very important for us to understand. I know the vast majority of you have a good concept because we've talked about these things before, but it needs to be reminded. We need to be reminded once and again. And so we're going to deal with the wages of missions. And so let's concern ourselves then with the main points of the message. Before we look into the points that are elaborated, there are some precursor points or some verses I wanted to look at. And the first thing I wanted you to notice was found in Philippians chapter 4, just considering this matter of support and missions and wages and so forth of those who minister. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes and says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And so Paul's just reminding the Philippians as he writes to them that those people had been partaking in his mission work and his laborers. And that we read in the text in verse 14 that they communicated with his affliction. When there was need, financial responsibility, these people gave him money. They gave financial support. So we read in the text that of all the churches that were there, this was the church that did that. And so he said that this was a fruit to their account. When they gave, they supported, then that will abound to their account. And he says, not because I desire a gift. He doesn't do that in order to get money. But it's proper for a church to support and to help and to labor in this matter of missions. As a related verse, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And you say, well, why should I bother supporting missionaries or preachers altogether? And by the way, there are some people in our society that, I don't know what it is, especially in this millennial generation, it seems like they think all this stuff is free. And many millennials don't see any purpose in giving and supporting and tithing. They just don't see a purpose in that. The older generation has understood and knows But is it worthwhile to support missions? Is it worthwhile to pay a preacher to do the task? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where I invited you to turn, verse 17, Paul writes in regard to this, and he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. They should be paid." In fact, they should be paid well, he says. Verse 18, "For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of the reward." And so we recognize by this teaching that a preacher ought to be paid, a missionary should be paid, they need to be supported. Then if you would go back further and consider 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. A few more thoughts regarding this matter of paying for support. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, we pick it up in the text, and Paul writes and he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses," by the way, this is what Paul just quoted in Timothy, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox, muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." And so we see clear distinction there of teaching about the minister, the missionary, should be compensated for their services. Let me read a connecting verse. Stay right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because we're going to make a few more references out of that text. But I want to read one verse for you out of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 3, where he says, and what we have is a time where Paul left Athens, he came to Corinth, and he met up with a fellow by the name of Aquila. And it says in verse 3, "And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." And what that means is the Apostle Paul, we already read in the text that he had very little financial support from the churches. He did get some support. Philippians was the key support that we read within the text. But how did he provide for his living? He said he was a tent maker. The guy constructed tents, and so he was a craftsman. And so he dwelt with Aquila, and Paul was a tent maker. And so it is necessary sometimes when, especially within the states where you're allowed to work, that if you don't have the support, then you can get a job and work. It's okay to be bivocational, although that bivocational activity will hinder the work in some degree. And so understanding this to be the case, we know what it is in regard to support. So I want to mention a few thoughts. I have them elaborated for you in the outline in the bulletin. What support is, there are six things that I want to make mention unto you. That's the remainder of my message, looking at these six points. And so you're right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to point you down to verse 11 as a reminder. And the first thing I want to make mention in regard to the wages of missions is that support is proper. It is a proper thing to support. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, he says, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things?" What's Paul telling them? We've labored in the ministry. We've invested in spiritual things. It's okay to reap your carnal things. It is okay to reap and to receive compensation. Support is proper. Nothing wrong with that. I think we should already understand that through the verses that we've seen in the discussion already offered unto you. As a reference, now I do want to go to Romans chapter 15. Keep a finger in 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But go to Romans chapter 15. And in Paul's epistle to the Romans, two verses here. And there's a consideration about support, helping out others. And this is Romans chapter 15, verse 26. He says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." And so this is a benevolence concept, but as well, look into verse 27 and the digression of which he states. It says, "It hath pleased them verily, and that for their debtors they are. For it, if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in the carnal things." You see the principle that's being expressed there. A fellow is laboring and offering the spiritual. Well, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And so because they've offered in the spiritual, then it's right and it's proper to give support, to assist. Even missionaries, when they go to a foreign place and if they set up a mission work or even establish a church there, they should be teaching those people of that congregation to be supporting a minister and to be supporting missionaries. That's a proper thing to do. And one of the bad things about foreign mission work is that a lot of people just cop the idea that, well, Americans are just made of money, and so we'll just get all our money from the Americans. A good missionary will be teaching his congregation to tithe and will be teaching those people to give them missions themselves. And a lot of those mission works absolutely support other missions while they're a mission themselves. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I think that's proper, because support of these laborers is a proper thing. That was point number one. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to direct you back to verse 14, which we've already read. Point number two, support is purposed by God. You say, why in the world should I be concerned about supporting the preacher, or why should I be concerned about supporting missionaries? Because that's just what God has ordained. And so we read in verse 14 once again, "Even so hath the Lord ordained." That's His teaching. This is His ordinance. This is what He demands. "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. It is proper to pay the laborer in spiritual things." So I hope that makes sense. It's a proper thing to do. God has purposed to do that very thing. Now if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians and point number 3. I submit unto you that support is provisionary. Why do we do that? Why do we support a preacher? Why do we support missions? Is it to make these people wealthy? No, that's not the point at all. The point is to provide for them, to help them in their needs. Support is provisionary. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 12, and we're not going to read all the verses that in chapter 9. You might want to do that sometime this afternoon or sometime this week. But we're going to look at a few verses here, make a few references. The first one is found in verse 12. I said the support is provisionary. Verse 12 says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints." And we're going to stop right there because I'm going to continue in just a moment with the next point. But what will this giving do? It says that it supplies the want of the saints, or the need of the saints. Now, this might be in reference, of course, to a matter of benevolence for somebody who is in great need and a church can give to them. That meets their needs. If you have a missionary, and of course, it's going to take mission support, and that's going to supply the needs for the missionary. As I just mentioned, we send a love offering to this missionary going over to Thailand. You know why? Because United is not going to give them free plane fare. They're not going to do it. And they're shipping their goods over. Those carrier lines are not going to send that stuff for free. Many years ago, you have to be a little bit discerning on this. We were undiscerning on this one. Years ago, we sent a box to the Philippines. And we collected all this food because the missionary had come through and said, "We really miss American things and American food and so forth." And your heart goes out to that, you know. Who wouldn't miss macaroni and cheese, you know, and stuff like that. So you have all these things from America, and they said, "We just miss all that." So we decided we collected all this stuff and put it in a box. And the box probably weighed 80 pounds or something. I mean, that thing was heavy. Can this, can that, boxes of this. It cost us $400 to ship that box over to the Philippines. We decided after that that wasn't a very good investment of funds. Would have rather sent them the $400 and let them buy the stuff there that would be more expensive, and they'd have been much better off. Because American goods in foreign countries are expensive, by the way. Well, so you have to be a little bit discerning, but it costs something, doesn't it? So giving and helping missionaries is provisionary. And so it meets the needs. They need, you like to eat, I like to eat, I like to wear clothes, you like to wear clothes, I like to have a roof over my head, and I like to drive a car. Well, don't they do those things too? Don't they desire them? So how are they going to do that if they're not allowed to work? So we must be able to help them. So support is provisionary. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I said I would continue with that verse. So verse 12, the middle of that verse, down through verse 13, point number 4, support is praiseworthy. Does God get the honor and the glory for when we support others? Verse 12 says, let's begin at the beginning of that verse just for fun. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, that's the first thing, but, here's the second thing, is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. In other words, they praise God, they give honor and glory to God because of the provision that's been provided for them. The money that we sent to the missionary going to Thailand, he's already sent, they sent a statement from the church as a thank you. I received an email from this missionary saying, thank you so much. Give me the address of the church. Sometime this week we'll get a thank you card for them. And don't you know that they're thankful for the gifts that are given unto them? And they thank God for that. They know where the real source comes from. Although they're saying thanks to us, I guarantee you in their heart they're saying, God, thank you for what you've done through those people. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us within the text. That this giving, well, it does meet the needs of the people, but it also provides an opportunity to give God the honor and the glory by giving God thanks. And so it's praiseworthy, isn't it? God gets the honor. God gets the praise. Because these people have been liberal in their distribution to them and even to others. God is honored and glorified through that. So support is proper, support is purposed by God, support is provisionary, and support is praiseworthy. Two more points. You're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Point number 5, support is pleasing. Is God pleased when we support His work? And verse 7, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Notice the last phrase of that text, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. Support is pleasing to God. I've often heard that preachers talk about that word cheerful, that's the word for hilarious. And God loves a hilarious giver. I mean, really, truly, the offering we took this morning, if you're holding on to it, that very last, you know, and Brother Steve's just pulling it out of your hands, that's not being a cheerful giver. You ought to be glad. Hey, yes, come to me first. That kind of a thing. I want to give. I desire to give. And you ought to have a heart, the purpose in your heart to give unto God and to thank Him for His provision that you can give back unto Him and you're faithful with your tithes and with your offerings and have a joy about that. Be an hilarious giver. And if you do, it says that God loves a cheerful giver. I guarantee you, dear Christian friend, if you're stealing from God, you're not happy and God's not pleased with you. I'm just telling you right off, not trying to offend anybody, but it just needs to be said. God loves a cheerful giver. You steal from God. God's not happy with that. And I know that you're not happy. So anyway, the point wasn't to preach on tithing and all that, but we can get an application as we run through, can't we? Well, that's point number 5. Let's look at point number 6, and support is productive. Support is productive. What I mean by that is when we give support, it enables the work. Therefore, that work produces something. The missionaries that we support around this world, we're not their sole support. A lot of those people have 30, 40, 50 people, other churches supporting them. That's how they can make it. That's how they stay on the field. But you know, as we support them, we help make their provision. We help provide for them. They're able to minister. They're able to witness. They're able to share. Even in the social aspect that we talked of in the work of missions, you know, they can do medical and give medicine and teach and train. And well, there's a lot of things that they can do. We're mainly concerned with the gospel, right? You remember when Paul told the Philippians that he says, I don't desire the gift just because I desire a gift, but fruit that may abound to your account. And I believe what the Apostle Paul is teaching in that session, and we have five verses we're going to look at in just a moment, but what Paul is teaching is that when we give and they are used of God and there's fruit for the labor there, we get a part of that. We get a share in that. And God will bless us because of that. And there's an eternal reward as you give to missionaries and you dig into your pocket and you give. You know what? You're investing in their work, and as they're producing and God is blessing them and they're getting fruit for their labor, you get a part of that because you've participated in that. Does that make sense to you? It enables the work when we support. And that means then as they produce, we get to share in that. What a privilege it is to share in that. So what this means is support is productive, isn't it? They can labor, it produces, but God will also bless because of it. So these five verses that I'm going to give to you and then we'll be finished. There is a reaping because of God's blessings upon their labors, but it comes from the blessing of faithfulness of those who give. Because if they're not given to, they can't be there. They can't work. They have to come home, and they can't reach those people. And so the people that are saved, the people that are helped, the lives that are changed, the Christians that are encouraged, they can't get that anymore. They have to come back. And so what a blessing it is to participate and assist these people. And God blesses those activities. Does God bless when you're faithful? Well, the first verse is this. You might have it memorized. Maybe you don't. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Five verses, and I'll be finished. Malachi chapter 3. I submit unto you that there's a reaping of God's blessings because faithfulness in giving. Verse 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What has God said? God has said, if you are faithful, I will bless you. I will open up the windows of heaven. Prove me by that. You give, God will bless. Support is productive, isn't it? Verse number 2, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 24. Verse 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet or necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If you're stingy and tight and hold on to it, then you can hold it back if you want, more than even is necessary, but it'll just lead to poverty, Solomon says. But the instruction is, he that scattereth, yet he increases. That doesn't make sense to us in a human sense, but what God does is God will bless us, and he will provide. And so this depends what you want to do. And so the liberal soul shall be made fat. And so God will bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's verse 8. Verse 8. Again, you could go through 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when you have an opportunity. But in verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." See, he just said in verse 6 that he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. There's product in giving to God. There's a reward for that. God, you got to give that as you purpose in your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And then notice that God not only loves a cheerful giver, he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, some of these ministries are pushing the idea, well, you invest a tenth and all that kind of stuff, and they're trying to get everybody to give as much money they can to some of these ministries, and they keep promising them, you give a tenth, God will give you a hundredfold and so forth. I'll tell you, God doesn't always give back financially, but he can do so many other things that will bless you. One thing is good health. One thing is your car don't break down. One thing is your house doesn't break down. There are so many things that God can do, where it says that he can give you the grace that you need, that you might abound in every good work. There's so many things that God can do than just giving you back your money. And sad to say is some people really do see it as an investment. They're sending their money off to these ministries, and they just believe with all their heart, because they sent them $100, they're going to get $1,000 in the mail or something like that. They really do believe that. And sometimes some of those people do get extra money, but that's going to be the rare occasion, I'm telling you. God is not, it's not a bank account to where you're drawing interest. That's not the point. You give to the ministry, and if God will bless you as he sees fit. Well, Philippians chapter 4, go back over there. The fourth verse reference, Philippians chapter 4. I only have five, and then I'll be done. Philippians 4, verse 19. Just remember this, as Paul had spoken to the Philippian church, talked about their giving and their providing for him and all that. He tells them this, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God said, you've given to me, I'll take care of your need. Will God do that to his churches? I believe that he will. I think that's a promise to the church. As they're faithful to God, doing what God would have them to do, then God said, I will supply your need. Last verse is this, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Is support productive? Will God bless? I believe that he will. Luke chapter 6, and in verse 38, says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." God has promised, give and it shall be given unto you. Again, it's not an investment plan. It's not a retirement plan. That's not the point. As you purpose in your heart, you give to God, to his ministry, to his labor, and God said, I'll bless you. Give and it shall be given unto you, and God will provide and meet your need. I submit unto you that support is productive. That's the wages of missions. May I say this in closing? As much as we are responsible to serve in mission endeavors and to send others to labor where we cannot, we are also responsible to support missionaries and mission works. And I think that's a good thing. I encourage you to give unto God and trust God in that giving and see what God will do. And so, that's the wages of missions. Let's stand. Father, once again, thank you so much for your word, and teach us and help us to serve you and to love you and to be found faithful. Bless our missionaries and their labors, whether they're at home or abroad. The ministries that we support, Lord, bless them. May many be saved unto you. Lord, you save your people. And Lord, you encourage your people. And Lord, thank you so much for what you've done and what you're going to do. Thank you so much for allowing us to be able to participate in the blessings you bestow upon us because of faithfulness. Lord, just watch over us and speak to our hearts. And Lord, although we did not speak about salvation today, if there are any here that's lost, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, still draw them to Christ and to recognize that hey, if we ought to give to this God, we ought to give our hearts to the Lord first. And so we pray for the lost that they might be saved, and we who are saved might be strengthened. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Numbers 363. 363.